Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Andrew Hailed.
Andrew's going to come up and totally redeem our morning by trying to bring a little bit of some Jesus focus to all of this stuff. And so how about a little woo-woo for Andrew as he comes on down?
It's a lot of pressure. It's a lot of pressure to redeem this morning. No, it was good. That was fun. That was Jessica and I's first experience of that, so that was awesome. All right, so for Christmas this past year, Jessica and I exchanged gifts early, like way early, like October early. We had just moved, and so we had a couple larger expenses we wanted to go ahead and make. So that we'll just not worry about Christmas this year, and we'll just exchange a couple larger gifts. And so we bought a grill and a nice vacuum cleaner, nice housewarming gifts. The grill was for me to make burgers and steak for Jessica, and the vacuum was also for me to vacuum the floors in our house, because Jessica actually has not used this vacuum yet. The reason for that is because I like to vacuum, and because it makes a really cool noise when it starts up and shuts down, and I happen to bring it with me. This is only part of the vacuum, but all right, everybody has to listen. So the key was the very last bit of that. It sounds like a jet engine winding down. Yeah. So I get to feel really cool. And that Dyson, if you wanted to know where to get that vacuum, they have them at Lowe's, Menards. Does that mean I get money from them? Is that how that works? But that's such a cool sound. I love doing that. I smile every time, but Jessica doesn't know that because I'm around vacuuming the house and she's working on the gardening or on our sunroom, that sort of thing. But vacuuming. So now, the gifts I just talked about, the grill and the vacuum, they're not necessarily great examples of where I want to go this morning, because we use them all the time and will continue, hopefully, continue to use them for years to come. But think about for a minute the excitement of new things. We just had Christmas. We just had New Year. The excitement of new things. Maybe it's the new book in your favorite series. Maybe it's, you know, a new puppy. Maybe it's the new coloring book for your child or for you. The new tool for your workshop, the grill, the vacuum, the jewelry, the necklace. It can go on and on and on. The excitement of picking out what we want and then asking for it and then deeply hoping that our grandparents spoil us with it. But what happens as we go on with these new things? You know, you open the gift, you get the excitement of opening it, wrapping and throwing away the wrapping paper. And you can't wipe the smile off of your face for a lot of these things. What's that new item that you got or new item that you have? And you can't wipe the smile off your face. And if you guys will throw up that slide there to start off the PowerPoint. I caught them napping. I'm going to flip to the next one. The new favorite thing. And even when your brother gets mad, the smile can't be wiped off your face. Because he didn't get exactly what he wanted, but you obviously did with a new potato. But what happens with many gifts, especially with children, think about the new gifts that your children get, or children that you have, that are grandchildren, or that are you have had when you were a child. What happens to that gift? It's exciting. You get to play with it. You play for it for like 3 days, and then it goes to the bottom of the toy box because they don't want it anymore. It's boring. But I don't want to play with that anymore. It's not exciting. It's not shiny. Until they want it the next week, and then you have to go dig it out of the bottom of the box. But what happens? So with those gifts, how do we as adults do that as well? I think we do that, but we hide it a lot better. We have had time to learn how to hide those gifts. I know I'll use this tool again someday. I bought it for this specific project, but I'll use it again someday. I'll wear that blouse. I'll wear those shoes that I bought. I'll wear those again someday. I know I'll finish that book someday. It was so good, and I'll get back to it. So we rationalize, we convince ourselves that we're simply being smart. We're planning ahead. We've got this item. Why would I get rid of it? I might use it again. And it's true, many times we do end up using it again, but how excited are we to stand up there and say, see, I was planning. 12 years ago, I had that, and I knew that I would need it again, and I used it. I was prepared. But here's the deal. Here's the transition, is that when we come to understand our need for Jesus, a lot of the time it's kind of like a new gift. For some of us, it's an exciting time. You can't wipe the smile off your face. We're excited about the new relationship that we have found in Jesus. But what happens? The emotions slip away, and we wake up the next morning in the same situation we were in before. So maybe we just go back to how we operated. We know how that works. We know how it goes. It's easy, seemingly. It works well enough. Or maybe we put Jesus in the toy box. We put him down in the bottoms, but we know he's always there. We can go get him if we need him next week. Or maybe, that's the wrong sign. Sorry about that. God is faithful. So the idea that maybe God is faithful, maybe we remember that, maybe we take that with us. And we pursue this new relationship that we have with him. And that doesn't mean that even if you are, it's going to be easy going. It's like taking off in an airplane. But maybe we pursue this new relationship and find that the work and the time and the recognition of that God is faithful, as it says there in 1 Corinthians, and that the work and time and energy we put in is worth it because you experience how he transforms you, how he might adjust your perspective, how he takes away the bitterness, the sorrow, the hurt, the anxiety, the pain, that which you have been dealing with. It doesn't just go away, but as you spend time in that relationship, you begin to understand more again that God is faithful, that he is mighty, that he wants to be with you. Now we'll go back to the other slide. So that is Jessica and I's bridal party. Just a few people. Jessica and I got married. We had 7 bridesmaids and 7 groomsmen. Now, Jessica was put at a disadvantage because she has 2 sisters and I have 2 sisters, so there's already 4. But I had the task of coming up with 7 men to ask. Now, don't take that to mean I had trouble finding 7 guys. I didn't pay them. But I had so many men that I had been benefited spending time with at college through crew. I had gotten to develop relationships with these guys. I had lived with them so intensely that I had to actually pick of them which ones I wanted to ask. And as I was figuring out who I might want to be up there with me, one of the ideas that I had was I want to pick the guys that I think I would be able to spend the rest of my life pursuing. Who are the guys that I think I can continue to intentionally pursue and keep relationships up with, even if we move, even if we end up in different places, or if we end up in the same town? I loved each of these men who stood up with Jessica and I, as well as the ladies, of course, especially those 4. But the real fact right now for me is that there's only one of them that I somewhat regularly spend time with or connect with. The rest of them, I still love. I still would love to spend time with them, but I quit and they quit putting in the time and the energy into those relationships. Again, that doesn't mean we don't care about one another. I wouldn't be there without a moment's hesitation. But we didn't put in the time and work it took to maintain such close friendships. So we're in the midst of Love Month, an emphasis on relationships. So how do you, when you think about the relationships you have, how do you cultivate those? How do you spend time with them? How do you get to know those people better? How do they get to know you? You spend time with them. You laugh with them. You join keto with them. Go keto, I should say. You party in downtown Fairmount on Halloween with chili and hot dogs and lots of candy. You become more like them the more you spend time with them. Will you throw up the long scripture slide up there, John 15? And it reads, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. Spend time with me in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full. That's Jesus speaking there. How are you cultivating your relationship with Jesus? How are you abiding in him? How are you spending time, or what are you doing to spend time in that relationship with him? Where are you taking action in your faith? Might be another way to say that. In that relationship, Jesus spurs us to action. Where are you taking action in your faith? So as a church, we're consistently trying to create or organize different ways for you to live out the action Christ calls each of us to. And the same is true for Brock and I. A couple examples I want to throw out there is we have the men's group, and we've been doing that Wild at Heart study. We've talked about it quite a bit. And I know quite a few of the men who have benefited from that discussion, that conversation. But out of that, we have this idea of starting a mentorship program at the local high school, specifically right now with young boys. And from there, we'll see where it goes. We're taking that class, and we're taking action with it. I'm so excited to be able to be a part of that. If you would like to be part of that too, let me know. Let Brock know. We want to figure out how to do that and do it well. We have a women's group that is starting a new study on the quest and exploring this idea of pursuing Jesus through the scripture, the idea of pursuing Jesus with the questions that we have. If you have questions, and I know all of us do, come be a part of that discussion, even if it's for 1 week, 1 evening. We have this new Growing Young project I mentioned earlier. We'll talk more about that here in the coming weeks, but it's meant to encourage, support, and equip you as a leader in your own life. And these are classes, or these are things that we can continue to put on, but the idea is that they are supposed to be launching pads for each of us to take part in so that we can then take and go into our own lives and see the problems that we see, because each of us see different problems in our life, in the lives of others around us. We want to equip you so you can help take care of those problems. Not that you can necessarily solve them or fix them, but you can be a part of not just putting on a Band-Aid, but helping remove the cycle of stepping into that and taking action in your own life. God doesn't stick to formulas. We'd love him to. I'd love him to. Sometimes it seems like he does, but if you look at the way that Jesus heals a blind person, he never does it the same way twice. So the idea, again, is that what we're trying to create here, and not just here at this church, but in the churches in the community, how can we launch you forward? How can we launch ourselves into this community to make a difference? And I guess Sam is doing that with Campus Life. Keep doing it. If you want to be a volunteer for Campus Life, see Sam. But we as a church are working to provide different ways for us to connect with one another and for new ways for you and I to connect with our Lord. And we each have different relationships with Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are here this morning. We got to have some fun. We got to laugh. We got to hear about relationships and the different lengths that those have and the different things we remember or not remember. God, we're so blessed to have a community that desires to pursue you. And God, as we continue to look at what that might look like, how can we take action in that? How can we pursue you? How can we be reminded that is not just boring. It's not just, I liked that, but not so much anymore. But it's something where we understand we have to pursue a relationship with you. God, help us remember that. And may we know that you are the one working through us, that you are the one spurring us onward. You are the one who we get to pursue because you are pursuing us. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his words, that we can spend time with you in prayer, in our daily lives, and whatever we're doing, we can come to you and abide in you. As we go from here today, pray for safe travels. Pray for those that are spending time with family. God, may it be a blessed time. Those that are going home, God, it's a time to, again, continue to worship. We don't just do it here Sunday mornings, but we do it every day of the week. God, you are good, and thank you for the reminder to stand firm. In your name we pray. Amen.
So we're so glad you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.